to episode...
No, see, it's not as easy as
thing. No, it's like episode 12. It's the season 4.
No, we're not doing number. We're not episode number.
Season 4.
Yeah.
Guild preview.
Premiere. I'll make it up.
Hunters.
Hunters Guild. See, it happens. Yeah, we're not numbering the episodes because people conflict between the tutor guilds that interest in the land.
Well, this is just so people know that this is the 12th.
Basically, we've done a lot.
We've done many, many, many episodes.
So now we're on the Hunters. We're getting on the home straight now.
Yep, two left. This one and Masons. So
yeah, which is favourite one?
Yeah, we've left the best to last.
For entertainment purposes.
Yeah, because mainly after the assault in the Masons, yeah. I might not want to record after that.
Right.
So, Hunters. Hunters have always been one of those odd guilds.
They started as a bit of a weakling guild.
They got improved. Skaver came out. She was great. Mm. Theron then got buffed.
And then you never see Skaver.
But to be honest, I find Hunters are one of those guilds that if you are not very good with them, they don't play very well. But I think as soon as you master that and you get to the top of their curve, they're amazing.
I think they're a guild where you'll either win like 12-2 or lose 12-2 with them. You don't really see a lot of like close-ish game. Like you either, once you get the momentum going with them and start smashing them and killing people, you can't really recover from that with when Hunters are on the front foot. And again, if you choose your engagement wrong and you start losing key pieces and stuff, because they're quite a synergistic team.
And quite a lot of the pieces are quite easy to handle. So if you if you push JKR away after his first attack, you get the wrong counter-attack, he's not going to...
So it is about picking your right targets and stuff. It's a very high skill level team.
Yeah.
But if you're skilled with them, you can use them for great effect.
Yeah.
So, first thing is, big change for the traps.
Yep.
The globalised and standardised traps now.
Yeah, so
I've got the blurb.
Yeah, you have, but what I'm getting at is rather than having a 40mm JKR trap and three of each with Minx and Chaska, they're just a flat standard.
So, trap markers have a 30mm base. A player may have up to 5 friendly trap markers on the pitch at once. When any model moves them 1 into a friendly trap marker, the trap marker is removed from the pitch and the enemy model suffers a snared condition and 1 damage.
So it's a little bit of a nerf because previously you could have had 7.
Yeah.
Not that you can have 7 on the pitch for very long, but now you can only have 5. JKR's 40mm trap's now useless.
Not so good, right?
I've stuck it onto a piece of rough terrain now. Alright.
Yeah.
But now they're a standard rather than JKR doing snared and bleed. It's now 1 damage and snared.
Yeah, that's a nerf.
But Chaska's was just snared. So his has got better. Yeah. And Minx's was 2 damage.
2 damage, yeah. I think with the thing with the people getting benefits against things with snared and stuff like that, I think the traps giving out snare is a good thing, snaring people and
things. This is it, and it's really easy just to throw a trap out.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like extra defensive tech, isn't it, really? So sort of you think, right, do I really want to go and engage that and trigger the trap?
Yeah, and it's not as brutal as a snare and bleed.
No. Because it stops the old shenanigans of JKR dropping a trap, doing a push dodge.
Snare and bleed.
Snare and bleed. Comes away.
Yeah. You still do it now, it's snared the damage.
Still do it now, yeah.
But it's not as, you know...
Well, bleed's been completely removed from guild apart from Cena.
Been removed from a few guilds. So Alchemists no longer have access to bleed. And they'll get Alchemists.
Yeah, Alchemists has been there in every podcast.
Oh, I didn't mention him in Fish.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I thought it was like a 40-minute podcast rather than over an hour.
What you're saying is 30% of the podcast, the extra 20 minutes, is Luke going on about Alchemists.
I think that's fair. I think they're a hot topic of discussion.
I think they are a hot topic of discussion, and I think a lot of people will be talking about them. Mainly everyone at SteamCon picking up Alchemists.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyone who's doing the Free Cities draft,
we are not turning this into a party political broadcast.
On behalf of the Alchemist Guild, your local representative, we are currently in the market for Nomad, primarily. However...
This is a Hunters podcast.
No, it's fine. We've got plenty of time. We're looking for Nomad, and then there's a secondary, potentially Knuckles.
Bing bong bong.
Alchemist for a brighter future.
Go on then.
Should we do some Hunter's cards now? Can we do one for the Masons?
Brick! Brick! What? Okay, we've covered off enough.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Theron? No, don't.
Yeah,
I think you should leave it.
Okay, so Theron.
Not a lot of changes have happened for the Ron. He's lost 2 health.
Yeah.
Slight nerf. And other than that, his playbook's the same. His stats are all the same. The only thing that really has changed is Sniper's gone to be replaced with Arrow to the Knee, which does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So, still 8 inches, still cost 2, still 2 damage and -2/-2 kick. He still puts out Snared whenever he hurts you, which is great. He still has Light Footed, and Heroic is still Blessing of the Sunfather. The only other thing, which is another slight buff, is Nature's Growth. It can still throw it out within 8 inches, which is amazing, but it used to stipulate that you couldn't place it within 2 inches of a piece of terrain. Now it just can't be touching.
Nice.
So you can properly shut down charge lanes.
So that's really good.
Overall, I think the Ron's still super strong. And
to be honest,
a lot of him.
He was buffed quite a lot.
Yeah, he had quite a heavy buff.
Mid-season 3.
Yeah, he was always seen as quite weak, and now he's still amazing, especially with Sunstrike and things like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, the Ron.
Overall, you'll still see him.
I think you'll still see him. But I think you'll see a lot of Skaver.
Why do you recommend?
So, what Theron does for damage, Skaver does for goals.
Right. So Skaver's quite a bit of
a massive change.
A big, big changey one. Because she's just, in terms of dodges and janking around and that, she's at like Midas levels of jank. Yeah, another Alchemist reference. So, so she's still got a 1-inch melee. She's been sped up, so she's gone from a 5-7 move up to a 7-9 move. She's still got attack 5, she's still got a 4-6 kick, still got a 5 defense, 0 armor, and still got 4-6 influence. Her playbook has had a bit of a shuffle about. On the first column, she's either got a momentous tackle or a momentous 1-inch dodge, which is nice. She's still got a non-momentous double dodge on 2, or the non-momentous 1.
So the 1's moved from column 1 to column 2.
Yeah, so they basically swapped the momentous tackle and the non-momentous 1. Third column, she's got a momentous 2 or a non-momentous skill ball symbol. On her fourth column, she's got the momentous double dodge or a non-momentous knockdown. And on her fifth column, she's got the non-momentous 3.
So, effectively now, if you don't want to hard cast column snap, you can only do it with non-momentous stuff.
Yeah. But previously, it used to be on 5 successes, now it's on 3.
Yeah, but you can still get that on a charge.
Yeah. So, character plays. She's still got the same name ones, but they have changed.
Yep.
So, Blessing of the Moon Goddess is a cost of 1 and a range of 4. It's knocked once per turn. So, the next time target friendly model makes a successful attack, the friendly model may add an additional double dodge to the playbook result. Skaver hits somebody. On 1 success, it is a momentous triple dodge. Or a momentous tackle double dodge on 1 success.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we can see a lot of Blessing of the Moon Goddess charge.
Yeah.
Get maybe, well, just imagine getting, what, 6 successes.
Yeah.
The momentous double dodge attached to the momentous tackle double dodge.
Well, no. Yeah, so it would be... Yes, you get 4 inches of dodge and a momentous tackle, yeah. Yeah? Momentous tackle, where'd they go, essentially?
Yes. On. Yeah. Which is
3 influence.
Amazing.
Yeah.
3 influence.
So that's Moon Goddess. So she can do that on other people. So, you know.
Turns of Egret.
Turns of Egret. Turns of the Bear. The Bear doing damage double dodge.
Well, to be fair, look at it this way. Spoilers. The Bear has lost Intimidating Roar.
Yeah.
But imagine it going the other way now. So rather than having a double push,
double dodge.
Have a double dodge.
Yeah, because J Carl with his damage, push dodge, damage, push dodge, dodge, dodge. It'll be like, what, Momentous 2 with triple dodge and a push?
Wow. There's so many uses.
Yeah. So a second play is Cold Snap. Is, I think it's the same. It's a position AoE within range. Models hit suffer 2 damage in the snare condition. Oh, it was 1 damage in the snare condition. Now it's 2 damage in the snare condition. Yeah.
Well, like I said, you can only trigger it non-momentously.
Trigger it non-momentously or pay it hide cast it for 2. It's a good one if you get banned out of combat, like with a push dodge or something that, and you've got a couple to do that. Snowball costs 1, which it used to.
But this is the other thing you can use if you get pushed out of combat.
Yeah. So you place an additional ball in this model's possession. When this ball is used to score the goal, the friendly team gains 1 BP instead of 4. At the end of this model's activation, move this ball from the pitch.
Yep. So it still ends your activation to score a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But you can easily earn and churn through extra 1 BPs by making a ball and scoring.
Yeah.
Because she has still got a 4-6 kick.
Yeah. So, back of the card, she's still got light-footed.
Yeah.
She's still got Nature's Chill, which is a certain amount of activation. Makes the scenario within 8 inches of not in base contact with terrain. This area is fast terrain and is removed from the pitch in the end phase. So she's now a 9-11 move with potentially a momentous triple dodge on 1. Until she legendaries. Her new legendary is Winter's Night. It's a 6-inch aura. And it says, when a friendly model within this aura makes a successful attack, the friendly model may add an additional dodge onto the playbook result. So, Blessed of the Moon Goddess and Legendary, she's got a quadruple dodge on 1 momentously, or a tackle triple dodge on 1.
She's going to do it like once per game because it's a legendary, but it's still
goal
very...
to win the thing. And it's an aura.
So
as well.
Else can do
so
it as
everyone
well.
Could do it as well. So she could Bless of the Moon Goddess Jaker, and he can do his momentous push, dodge. No, dodge. 3 dodges. 3 dodges and a push, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, 4 dodges, because Blessing adds...
A double.
So it's... He'd dodge 4 and push then 1. Bear, have a bear do some momentous damage and have a triple dodge.
Spread the love around.
Then the next one, unfortunately, is only a single dodge on each one. I mean, that is just mental. Mental in a good way is just bananas good.
Yeah, like it really turns up a goal scoring game basically. So, yeah. Overall, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think you'll see a lot of Skaven now because I can't honestly remember the last time I played Skaven in the tournament.
I think just the stuff, just by talking about it, that she can do with being able to momentously dodge and then send passable to someone else and then put blessing onto them. Kind of thing, just to go, okay, you can just go and start working your way around somebody.
Yeah, this is it. So, because, yeah, effectively, look at that as a turn 1, make a snowball, pass to the player, they get a double dodge.
Yeah.
Then she passes the ball, so you've got a momentum,
yeah.
Throws down her fast terrain for
yeah.
an extra plus 2, and then puts out Moon Goddess on that player.
Yeah.
So then next turn, they've gone plus 2 move, crash into a player for the extra dodges, score.
Yeah.
Especially on a Veil Egret with her Swift Strikes.
It's just amazing. I'm so, so happy.
Mm. I think I'd really like to try the turn 1 sort of cold start Scaler scoring.
Yeah.
So score with somebody else, and then next activation, Scaler goes and tackles, etc., etc. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of that. So, Pat, OG mascot. Still got 6 health, still got 1 inch melee, still has nimble for plus 1 defence, which is exactly what you want on a Death 5 model.
Mm.
Top stats have remained exactly the same, and the playbook has remained exactly the same.
Wow.
So overall, a pretty
unchanged mascot.
Still furious, still linked to roller, and still isolated target, so plus 1 damage if they're snare.
Wow.
So no changes.
Okay. Snow. Snow's got a couple of little changes. So, still got 8 health. Still got the same move, the same attack. It's now a 2-6 kick instead of a 2-4.
That's got to be one of the best kicks of a mascot.
Yes.
Other than Buckwheat?
Other than Buckwheat, with 2-8. 4-0 arm and defence, and 1-3 influence. Playbook is completely unchanged. Feral Instinct is unchanged.
Still giving out anatomical?
Still giving out anatomical. And all ball is gone.
Oh well, I think people forgot about it.
Yeah. However, Snow's gained Love Creature.
Which is nice.
And then also Pack Mentality, you know, the one where someone's hitting someone within a 4-inch aura. It's now a 6-inch aura.
So provided they're not knocked down, you can take a 1-inch dodge directly towards this model.
Yeah.
So if you're being attacked by a 1-inch melee player,
yeah,
you're away.
Yeah, it was great. The amount of people you've seen caught out with that.
Mm. So which mascot would you play now? Because I think there's a place for both of them now.
I think if you're playing a lot of 1-inch models, then you'd play Snow.
Okay.
But yeah, that's probably, yeah.
So
both solid mascots.
The bear.
Hmm.
One of the, pretty much one of the characters that attracted me to Hunters in the first place, of course, because it's a freaking bear. So, still 21 health, still 2-inch immune zone.
Yeah.
Still has tough hide, so that 21 health really matters. She's got faster. 5-7 now rather than a 4-7.
Yeah.
Attack, kick, and stayed exactly the same. Death has changed. It's now a 3-0 rather than a 2-1.
Hmm.
So, overall buff? Because if you're getting knocked down, then you're only on a 2 then at that point.
2-0, you're not getting the additional dice.
Because I think that additional dice that you used to get counts out the one armour.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, no longer 0-2 influence, now a 1-2. So, you're not really reducing your influence pool to take the bear.
Hmm.
So, just another quick change. Bear hug is completely gone.
The plus VP.
The plus VP and 4 damage and bleed.
Because I suppose you do that, you do the extra damage, it's 3 VPs for a taker, then you score a snowball goal, that's 4 VPs.
This is it.
It's,
yeah. It's just taking that interaction out, basically, because there's been a lot of reducing the number of VPs that you can get added on.
Apart from casting time.
Apart from casting time, which is, I don't know, it's OG. So, Cena has gained the Mauling, which is a double-edged sword, if you ask me. 2-inch pulse, other models within this pulse suffer a 4-inch push directly away from this model, and 3 damage. So it's friends as well.
Yeah.
So you don't really want to be offering crowding outs.
Well, you can offer crowding outs, that should be a bit clever with it.
Yeah.
What's it, a 2-inch pulse?
It's a 2-inch pulse.
Yeah, so you'd have to be a bit clever.
Yeah, you've got to be a bit clever with it. So, playbook has pretty much been rewritten from the ground up. So I'm just going to go through the new playbook because I'm super excited about this. The bottom row is all momentous. It's six boxes long. Damage 1-6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. Pretty easy to guess what you're getting when you.
Sorry. Kind of jumping back to Skater.
Right.
With him having a non-momentous double push on one. He could have a triple dodge, double push on one.
That's probably the best result
to you.
In the game. So, yeah, this is it. So, as Luke said, got a double push non-momentously on one. The knockdown's now on two, but it's non-momentous.
Yeah.
There's the momentous Gilball Cup symbol on four for the Mauling.
Yeah.
It's nice. Tackle is now on 5.
What was it?
2. So the bear used to like playing with the ball. Now he cares not for the ball. And that's literally it. So, lost most of her pushes.
Yeah.
You're literally now going for the Mauling if you really want them pushes. So, back of the cards has changed quite a bit. Tough hide is still the same, sorry. Still has isolated target for the +1 damage if you're snared. Right, intimidating roar is gone, so you can no longer 2-inch push an enemy away. And it's lost Furious. Which is quite a big loss overall. Mm. In recompense, gained Crucial Artery.
Yep.
So dishes out bleed, which is nice. And Feral. Once per turn, during this model's activation, it may make an attack without spending influence.
So it's a max of 3 attacks.
So it's Yeah, so you're swapping three attacks for three attacks, yeah. But one of them used to be a charge, which was obviously significantly better.
Yeah.
So, overall, it's quite tough, to be honest. The bear is going to be a lot harder to take, because, you know, turn one for nothing, the bear could just charge forwards, you 7 inches,
yeah,
ready for turn two.
But do you play the bear with the skater team as your damage dealer?
Eventually, because obviously you've got that 2-inch fast round to speed it up. And giving the bear dodges, which frees the bear up, to be honest. But to be honest, it was a lot more important to free the bear up when it had Furious.
Yeah.
Because obviously you don't want it locked down so you can't get free charge.
And to be honest, the bear could go and hit a couple of people, quickly though.
Yeah, this is it.
But realistically, with the isolated target, his damage tree is insane, actually.
It's 2 to 7.
2 through 7 and bleed on every single
attack. So if bear goes last, so you don't get a chance to heal, imagine charging for a momentous 7, bleed. That's double dodge of scales in the
area. No, expects a bear goal.
Well, like I said, look at it this way. With isolated target, 2 to 7 damage to bleed on top.
Yeah.
And then, off you go.
I think it's probably a sideways step.
To be fair, I think giving Cena Feral kind of replaces the Roar.
Mm-hmm.
Because for your free attack, you can do that double push.
Yeah.
Or a knockdown.
Yeah.
I think it's generally just a lot more flexible.
Yeah, I suppose you could ruin a bear. So all you got to do is base the bear with two.
No, 2 inch one. But bear's still 2 inches itself, so it doesn't really care.
Yeah.
It just means it's not charging anywhere, but you're still then getting three attacks.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think it's definitely made her a lot more flexible, albeit,
probably not as, oh my god, I've got to shut down the bear thing. The bear's not so much a laser gun missile anymore.
No. Yeah, you're not sitting there waiting for an 11 dice charge from the bear.
Yeah.
When you're snared.
Yeah. Get rid of the snared.
This is it. So now, and I think the bear's doing enough damage now that, if you look at where the damage used to be, it used to be on momentous 2 on 3, non-momentous 3 on 4, which on tack 7 is what you're generally aiming for.
So you'd be hitting column 4. So rather than 3, you're doing 4. Plus, up to 5 if snared.
I don't think you necessarily need snared now. I think snared definitely turns her up and switches her on.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of a, you could go for an early activation, churn out a load of damage, and then move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll do Egret.
Yeah, cool.
Egret's had a couple of, it's mainly global changes that's changed her. Her playbook's had a bit of a shuffle about. So, her top line's still the same. So she's still 6-8, 4, 3-8 kick, 4-1 defense style, 2-4 influence. Her playbook, the only change is on the third column she had a momentous push though, so that's been moved to the fourth column now. Which is quite interesting.
Time to prove to achieve.
But yeah, she's still got Snapfire, which is exactly the same, 6-inch range, target any model with simple A damage. And she's still got Flurry. Models in 2 inches of the target enemy suffer the 2 damage.
Yep.
Still with 12 health. She's still got Back to the Shadows.
So, just as a point, look at the wording on that. Flurry used to be target enemy model suffers 2 damage. All other models within the book suffer 2. Now it's models
within 2 inches of target enemy. Yeah.
So does the target enemy model not take 2?
Probably not. Models within 2 inches of target enemy models suffer 2 damage.
But is it within 2 inches of itself? Probably.
Yeah.
But do you see where I'm getting at?
We haven't actually seen the rule book.
Yeah.
So she's still got Venomous Strikes, she's still got Back to the Shadows, and she's still got Swift Strikes. However, the change to Swift Strikes is huge. It's now a 2-inch dodge every time she does damage, rather than a 1-inch dodge every time she does damage.
Yep.
And that's basically Egret. I think that'll make quite a difference, to be honest with you.
She's still super easy to kill.
Yeah.
4-1 with 12 boxes.
But it's her being able to
with a
snap snap fire, double dodge, back to the shack. Well, jog. Well,
what would you do? You would you do jog six, 5-3 attacks, score a goal?
Yeah.
For quite a decent size threat range.
So she'd jog six. She'd jog six, then do 6 inches worth of dodge off 3 snap fires, providing they all hit, of course.
Definitely.
So potentially 12. Then with an 8-inch kick.
To be fair, if you're triggering it off of like a brick.
Yeah.
Or a stave.
Yeah.
Then you're probably getting it one dodge and even a 2 up.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she's still a 3-8 kick, so she's still fantastic.
Yeah. I still think she's definitely got it.
Oh, yeah. Like, so,
do you want to do the... Who are you doing?
I was going to go for the Zorro next.
Okay.
Or do you want me to do the Hearns?
Yeah, you're going to do both the Hearns.
Okay. So, OG Hearn. It's only after I was looking at these cards earlier that it really dawned on me just how good OG Hearn is. So, he's still 20 health, he's still 2-inch melee zone. His stats have remained the same. His playbook has remained the same.
Yeah.
He still gives out singled out, and he still does skewer, which is still 6 inches, still 3 damage, and still snare. So, no changes on the front of his card from what I can see.
Yep.
On the back, he still has Nature's Blessing. Once per turn during its activation, this model may choose a piece of forest terrain within 4 and be placed anywhere in it. You know, going along with the buff that Theron has, where it can be anywhere now, not touching another piece.
Yep.
So, that's got to be a buff overall to him. Makes positioning a lot easier. He still has light footed to ignore rough ground, so he's really moving through that forest. He's not taking his -2, and he still has Blessing of the Sunfather for a free character play, so overall, unchanged. So he's a pretty balanced character by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So, Bet Hearn. The one I always used to go for, but probably going to play an OG Hearn a bit more now.
I like Bet Hearn, but it's because I play Falconers.
Yeah, definitely. So, still 20 health, still 2-inch melee zone. Stats across the top have remained the same, so he's still got that difference where he's a 2-3, whereas OG Hearn is a 1-3.
Yeah.
His playbook is exactly the same. He's lost last light from the front of his card, but that's a 0 cost character play, so that's going to be appearing on the back. He still has skewered, which is, as we mentioned, still 3 damage, still snared.
This is where the magic comes.
This is where the magic happens. So, he...
Yeah.
So, by looking at it, he has lost light-footed, but it's only because it's been rolled into Winter's Blessing.
Yeah.
So Winter's Blessing is, when this model makes an advance, it ignores the move penalty for rough ground. When this model moves within one or more pieces of rough ground, it gains +2/+2. So,
yeah, you know, it's just tied it all up.
It's literally just tied it up, and rather than being two separate entries, yeah, it's now just one. Still has Lunar Eclipse. Each time this model damages an enemy model, after the action is resolved, this model may be placed within 1 inch of the enemy model. So you basically just...
You used to have to trigger it off a character, off a playbook.
They used to have to be snared. That was the speculation.
No, and it used to be off a playbook result.
Yes.
So now you can skewer someone from range and then jump to within an inch of them. Yeah. No one expects a home goal.
No one expects the sneaky home goal, definitely. That was it.
Which it did against Fish.
And then last light's appeared on the back once per turn. Choosing a friendly model within 6. The chosen model may spend momentum instead of influence to pay the cost of his next character play. So literally, Hearn could use Last Light on himself, skewer someone,
yep,
teleport to 1 inch of the other side,
yep,
buy maybe a push,
yep,
buy an attack to push him away, score the goal.
Yep.
And yeah, that's fantastic. I can totally see him being used. And yeah, by the sound of it, he's super strong in Falconers.
Yeah, yes he is. I can vouch for that. So in Hunters though, do you think he usurps?
No, I think singled out is so good.
Even though with Minerva, you have singled out.
Yes. Well, technically you have Ice Spy.
So you could Ice Spy and singled
out. You could Ice Spy and singled out. Imagine that setting.
I suppose something else we could talk about is what with Cena with the damage tree and that. We do Hunters have access to Harriers.
So you literally Cena's
could be
tree
2-7
could be 3-8.
3-8 with obviously with a snared target under a Harrier.
Yeah, anatomical.
Wow, 3. So momentous 3. Well, why not on legendary turn? Mets 3 and a dodge on 1.
Who said damage has been turned up on season 4?
Momentous what? 8 on the top of the plate.
Momentous 8 on the top of the plate. That's coming from someone who isn't an apprentice.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So, I'm doing Veteran Minx. Now, Veteran Minx is one of the later season 3 characters.
Yep.
So she hasn't really got a lot of changes.
She was one of the ones that you saw a lot of in season 3.
Mm. So she's got basically her jawbreak bone markers have been swapped over to a friendly trap marker, and that's really it, to be honest. It's just a bit of tidy up, to be honest with you. She's still got the same playbook.
Yeah.
She's still got the what's it called, the heightened senses for the +1 death against characters that are damaged, and it's still got blessing.
So I can see blessing used on Bethurn to set Skewered off for free,
yeah,
rather than having to use his last life.
Mm.
So that's a good pairing. Plus they're both 2-inch melee.
And Theron's got Blessing as well.
Yes.
So you could play the triple Blessing lineup if needed.
Yeah. True story. Okay, over to me. Oh, you're doing another one?
No, he's got some more cards.
Is it?
Yes. Pinch me card.
Oh. Oh, is that one one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Niggling. So, Zerola.
Godly,
don't give me that. There's not been a great deal of changes to Zerola. She's still got 12 health. Still got 1-inch melee zone. She has had attack increase.
Mm.
She's now attack 5, not attack 4, which I think is a big change. Her kick's got better. It's a 3-6 now, not a 2-6. And she can take 4 influence rather than 3.
Yeah.
Fantastic. She still has chain bowlers, same damage, same range. She still has Midnight Upgrade, which, if I'm honest, is the pretty much the only reason people took her.
Yeah.
To get that free job at the start of the turn.
Right.
I've seen some really nice shenanigans with J-Car with that, watching that man travel.
Yeah.
Okay, the playbook has remained exactly the same, apart from now she has a non-momentous 3 at the top of her playbook. On 5 successes.
And attack 5.
On attack 5. So she's probably not going to hit it, but it's nice to have it there.
Hey, with double single out and guild.
+4 attack. Attack 9 Zerola, charging for 13.
Yeah. Under a Harrier. Went 4 at the top.
There's a lot set up just to get Zerola to do some work for it.
Just 4 damage.
Yeah, just 4 damage when you can do it on the bear for a momentous 8. So, still unpredictable, she's still off void, and she's still linked with that.
Mm.
So, overall, I think Zerola's definitely a good player.
Yeah.
Still deck 5, 12 boxes, which is about average for a deck 5 player.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, I think she's still fantastic.
She's still got Midnight Archer and still does the job she was
still
always does.
Does the job that she's there for.
Yeah, okay. So, Ulfa.
Yep.
Probably the unseen man of the Hunters.
I can't say I've ever played against him.
It's a shame because I love the model.
Do you? I'm not massive.
See, it's a proper like Marmite type model. People love it or hate it. I think it's great.
He's just got ridiculous proportions.
He's a werewolf.
Yeah. So, does that trigger Harrow?
Yes, he's got the name human, animal,
he's
and male.
Animal. Yeah. So love. What is it?
Harrow gets love creature. Essentially,
it's not love creature. It's charmed animal.
Charmed animal. Yeah. So anyway, right, Ulfa. He's basically been a bit of a rework to make him. He was something that you needed a lot of setup to do something relatively simple. He was a striker that was like a weird striker, probably the weirdest striker.
Yeah.
And that's going to gain with brain pan and memory. Right, so he's gone from a 5-7 move up to a 6-8 move. He stays at attack 4. His kick's gone from a 3-6 to a 3-8. And he's still a 4 death, 0 armor, 2-4 influence character. His playbook, now, what
he's got simplified.
It's been simplified. It's down to 4 columns. It was at 5 columns. So he's now got a momentous dodge or a non-momentous 1 on 1 success. He's got a momentous tackle or a non-momentous guild ball on 2. He's got a non-momentous double dodge on 3, and he's got a momentous 2 with a double dodge on 4. Yeah? So that's, yeah.
Overall, it's better.
Yes, much better. He's got one character play, which is where they go. We all know what where they go is. He's got 16 health. He's quite
bulky then for a striker.
Hmm. Yeah. He's got, so the back of his card, he's lost blood stem, which was the one is after causing damage to any model. This model
that's been built into his card.
Yeah. So he's almost got that because you had to kind of charge in to do damage, but it's only damage with dodges, it's non-momentous.
Yeah.
So it was a really dodgy one to do because you needed to get the extra.
Unintended,
but accepted. So really now he's still got ambush. So when charged by this model, enemies must spend additional momentum to use defensive stance. He's still got lone hunter, so while not within 4 inches of another friendly model, he's gained 2 tag. So he's tag 6 when he charges into somebody, and he's light footed. So the idea is now if you charge him into someone, 10 dice with a 4-long playbook, he's probably going to get a momentous 2 and rack for the momentous tackle.
Yeah,
and then he can score. Or then he can, for his third influence, where they go, and then have a shot.
Good.
That's basically what he does, but it's not as much like messing about like he used to have to do.
Yeah. He's a bit more point and click then.
Yeah.
So, J-Car. Okay. J-Car's had a couple of changes.
Yeah. He was in pretty much every single Hunter's lineup.
He did make pretty much every single team, so... Still 1-inch melee, still 14 health. Still 4-0, so he's really quite susceptible to counter-attacks still, because he doesn't have a knockdown. Anyways, he's 7-9 move, tack 6. Other than that, like I said, everything's remained the same. He's lost blood as a character play. But he still has Gut and String, but Gut and String's been nerfed a little bit. It's no longer -4/-4, it's now just a flat -2/-2, but you still get the -1 defense.
Good.
So he still generally does his job. The first, 4 columns of his playbook have remained unchanged. Actually, 5, because he's still got the non-momentous 3/5.
Mm.
Now, he still has his momentous 4/6, but he's lost his non-momentous 3 push dodge, which is generally what you're aiming for after you dropped a trap down.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, overall, a little bit of a nerf having lost bleed.
Yeah.
But to be fair, on the flip side, he can now put down multiple traps rather than just one trap.
Yeah.
So, swings and roundabouts, really, because that's snared and 1 damage.
1 damage. So he could put out 3 around somebody, and the minute they moved, it's 3 damage.
Well, snare. Once per turn.
Oh, is it only once per turn he could put it out?
Once per turn. It's only minx.
Oh, well, I thought it was a lot of minx that you could trigger off the playbook.
Only minx can trigger off the playbook, sadly. So, he's still anatomical, he starts back to the shadows, still light-footed, and obviously, Pitfall has been changed to big game traps.
Yeah.
So, overall, a little bit of a nerf to J-Car, but to be fair, it's because you see him all the time. And we're seeing that with a couple of characters, namely, like Brick.
Oh, for God's sake.
Don't you dare. You did a public service broadcast about Alchemist at the start of this
episode.
It
was about the Three Cities draft, it's relevant. Nomad for Oaks.
Carry on.
No, so a fun thing about the traps, it's a bit of an anecdote really, it was about Minx with the traps. It was a time when someone put 3 of her traps down. I think that was the most she could do when the 2 damage each they used to be. And then I was playing my rat catchers, I activated Piper, I was like, shall I come to you or you come to me? They went, I'll come to you. I was like, okay, bang, take 6 damage. You're a friendly model while this guy is bringing all the traps around. So I was like, cheers, you give me a 6 health head start before I then put you in the bin.
Nice. Anyway. Now it'd only be 3 health, but also snared.
Yeah.
It's good.
Remember, Puppet Master and Pay the Haunting Melody, you're a friendly model so you can trigger your own traps.
Yep.
There you go. Another
isn't it puppet. Reverie?
No.
Reverie's a friendly one, isn't it?
Haunting Melody's a dilemma where you can choose which one.
Nice. Cool. So,
completely unrelated and very, very situational. But
exactly. So, the last player.
My favourite one. My favourite one. I said I want to cover this one because I just think it's amazing. Chaska. Another much maligned player who you never really seen a lot of.
No.
But
I think one of them players that, again, if you used well, would make a big difference.
Yeah. So, he... His top row is the same. He's still a 5/8 move. He's still tack 5, 3/6 kick, a 3/1 defense and armor, and a 2/4 influence. His playbook's had a bit of a buff.
So, on his first column, he's got Momentous Double Push. Or Momentous Double Push Triple Dodge with Skyber. or a non-momentous 1 damage. On his second column, he's got a momentous 2. On his third column, he's got a non-momentous tackle. And on his fourth column, he's got a momentous knockdown or a non-momentous 3.
Which he used to have.
Yeah, which is exactly... The third column's the same. But other than that, he's had a big playbook buff, I'd say.
It's simplified, but you can see him generally doing more damage by just wailing on someone rather than just always relying on his boombox.
Boomboxes and the buff of all buffs.
I disagree. I think it's a sidestep.
Okay. So, in a world where you can have a blessing and be given a free character play...
Yeah, but it's once per turn now.
Yeah, okay.
You used to be able to do it 4 times if you set it up right.
Yeah. Okay, I will tell you what it is now. So, it's cost of 3, it's a range of 6. So, it's an increase in range and increase in cost. Target enemy model suffers a 4-inch push directly away from this model and 6 damage. Chaska comes waddling up the pitch with his shotgun. Bam! 6 damage.
14 inches total from an 8-inch run.
Yeah. 7 under a Harrier.
Yeah. It's big and clever. I'm not denying that.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think just thematically, you can... Someone kicks off with their player, Chaska's bang! Shoots them back to the deployment line.
Just imagine that, right? Someone's set up for the fetch the ball and steal.
Yeah.
But Chaska just sprints up and just puts you back on the starting line.
Just shotties them back. Or it's anything. Someone dodges... Someone's working out. It's really intricate...
That's a really good point. That would totally switch off someone's turn one.
Yeah.
If they can't get the ball and reposition that one player right the way back.
Yeah. Or, you know, as a other one, if they've got someone on their deployment line, it's a very, very situational thing. If they've got someone on the deployment line who's already activated holding the ball, you could then boombox them behind their own goal and they can't generate momentum for the rest of the turn.
That is situational but brilliant.
That is the most ultimate situational thing ever.
And what were we saying? We mentioned this in Jack in the earlier episode, in the previous episode.
Yeah.
Shooting someone off the pitch with it.
Yeah.
If someone jogs on 5, you shoot them off 6.
Interesting fact, in season 2, whenever I was playing Hunters with my Alchemists...
Oh, 4 inches, sorry, my bad. But carry on.
Whenever I used to play Hunters with my Alchemists and they played Chaska, I always true-repped boombox. I used to push-dodge, bang, 4-inch push away, walk in, push-dodge, bang, 4-inch push again.
So,
needless to say, Mordus lost this.
Mordus hasn't had true rep in a while.
Yeah, since season 2.
But yeah, so like I said, I think you've lost a little bit by being able to do multiple boomboxes. But overall, I think boombox is still super strong and very, very nice if you can get it off.
6 damage. 6 damage from range 6.
And to be fair, look at it this way. If they've managed to potentially dodge out of a Harrier... You can walk up, punch them for a double push,
yeah.
Get back in that Harrier, take a boom
and then shot him.
Yeah. So he can provide his own repositions.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, again, like you said, imagine boomboxing somebody, maybe not taking the push or take the push, walk up, smack them 4 times at momentous 2-on-2.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's 14 damage total.
I'm just thinking of all the pushing and stuff you can do.
Like, literally, imagine doing 14 damage with Chaska after a Blessing of the Sunfather.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
So, Chaska's my new favourite, just because of his shotty.
He's also still got tough skin.
He's got tough skin, so he can gain +1 armour. And he's still got 16 health. On the back of his card, he's still got Mud Concealer, so he gains +1 death while within rough terrain.
But he used to do +1 armour.
Yes, it's still used with +1 armor, now it's got +1 death.
But now he can be a 4-2.
Yeah, he can be a 4-2. Yeah, that's big and clever. And he's light-footed, and he's got big
game
traps.
And he just traps. So imagine throwing a trap down and boomboxing someone for 7 damage.
Seven damage and snared.
7 damage and snared. 8 damage if under a Harrier.
And I suppose he could potentially charge someone... We're just talking silly stuff now. Because he's got a double push on one with a 4 long playbook attack 5. So 9 dice, you're probably going to get 5 successes. He could do 4 pushes onto someone, and then boom.
Or he could do a knockdown double push into a Harrier, and then boom box them.
No, I was just thinking of pushing someone off the perch.
Oh, right.
Because he could charge someone, potentially get the double push.
For 8 inches of push total.
Yeah.
That would be.
And then shot him off the perch.
Which is the good part, because they come back on with the same health that they left with.
Yeah, so if he'd done the 6 damaged.
So imagine walking off, imagine coming back on with, say, maybe 8 health, take 6, pushed off the pitch for another 2 VPs, come back on with, what?
2.
2 health.
Yep, 8 minus 6 is 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he goes, come back on, then old Chaska's waiting with his shot eat.
Yeah, that's amazing.
See, I told you, best character play that he could do for free potentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fantastic. I can totally see Chaska being used.
Even if it's just by me, just modding up the pitch and shotting people.
Yeah. So with that in mind, then pick your 6.
For God's sake.
So I think literally.
I'm going Scather.
Yeah, I think if you went Scather and Snow to protect you from 1-inch melees.
Yeah.
Right. Then you go for Chaska for a kill.
Yeah.
You need a source of Blessing of the Sunfather. So
it's
going to
be Minx or OG Hearn.
Well, Minx, because she can put traps down as well.
Yeah.
I'm
going to go with the bear.
I was.
Be rude not to go with
the
bear.
Okay, I'll go with Egret then for another goal threat. And then maybe Zerola to get everyone up the field.
No, I'm putting Singled out with OG Hearn.
Mm.
So, in my team, let me tell you how many influence I'm bringing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... I'm only bringing 11 influence.
I've got 13.
Okay, you've got 13. But I've got 2 sources of blessing.
Yep.
I've got singled out in guild. Oh, actually, no, we haven't even looked at... Let's talk minor guilds as well.
Oh, yeah, with Minerva and Matagi.
Matagi, potentially, because he's got bleed from range.
He's got bleed and Harrier.
Yeah, bleed and Harrier. But then Minerva's got singled out.
Yeah.
So
I'd potentially swap Egret for Matagi, because they effectively do the same job.
Yeah.
But he puts out Harriers as well.
So maybe I would swap Hearn for Minerva, because they do a similar job. They can knock down, they can single out.
Yeah.
And they put a hit.
But I think with Matagi and Scather, you can easily get 2 goals.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then between Vetminx with a Momentous 2-on-2.
Yeah.
And Chaska with his boombox.
And the bear.
You've got the bear as well. You could easily get 2 goals. So yeah. I think that's a 2-2 team right there. That's fantastic. Like, just as a bit of inside information, when we first saw these cards a couple of weeks ago, I did print off the Hunter's card straight away.
Yeah.
As a, this might be my new team.
I think they're going to be a really, really strong season 4 team.
Yeah.
I really do.
So this will definitely be...
So do you think this could... Has this tickled your fancy enough?
Yes.
But right. after every podcast.
But after every podcast we've done, hopefully, if you guys have listened to, if you've managed to sit through more than one of our podcasts, you've heard us talk at the end and be like, wow, this is so strong, we want some of this. Nearly after every podcast, we've thrown a 6 together and talked about how excited we are. Are these good enough to make you want to pick Hunters back up?
Yeah. I think just for the cool things they do. I don't think I'd see myself playing them a lot.
But for a fun team.
For a fun team. Because that's why I play my Falconers a lot. I said, when I play Falconers a lot, I don't think it'll be a team I'd take to tournaments and that. But I think it's a team you can have a lot of fun with. And, yeah. All of Guild Ball isn't about going to tournaments and being ultra competitive.
No.
I enjoy just kicking back and playing some fun teams. Like, you know... Chaska the bear, and that may not be optimal picks at times, but I just want to go and shot him and then run a bear into him.
Yeah, I can see that. Legit. So yeah,
interesting that Minerva's picked Theron.
No,
I think mine's just because of the dodges of.
Yeah, I think you never know. After playing a couple of games of Scather, dodging around, scoring some goals, you might get bored. See, yeah. But to be honest, Theron would make my 12.
Oh God, yeah.
So I wouldn't leave him at home.
So. In terms of your 12, who here?
So I've got that 6 that I just picked. So I'd probably go with Cena, Jaykar Hastam at the bus.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. I've just picked Jaykar.
again, I think he's had a little bit of a nerf.
So we've got the choice of 15 players here. With
so you've got to leave three at home. Okay. Mm. So I'd probably leave Vethearn at home.
Vethearn, yeah. Would you have two mascots?
Yes.
I think
you can get some work out of both of them.
I think I'd probably leave Ulfa.
Ulfa would still stay at home. So then maybe Minerva, because if you've got OG Hearn,
yeah.
Do you need Minerva as well?
I don't know. Harrier, a two inch model with Harriers singled out and a knockdown.
So maybe Snow then. So because like literally I locked it up. Okay, I have just changed my six because if you've got Zeroli, you might as well take Fahad.
Yeah.
So that would be Scather, Fahad, Chaska, Minx, and Matagi, mm. Zerola. So maybe leave Snow at home.
Okay.
Or would you leave Egret at home, seeing as Matagi does roughly the same?
Mm. I think Harriers are a big.
I think
they're big and clever in hunters.
They are. Yeah. It's a tough one, to be honest. It's definitely a tough one.
I don't think we'll have the answer today.
No, I don't think we will. But other than that, so yeah, I'm very excited to get some hunters games in.
Yeah.
I think that's about it really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So again, hopefully you've enjoyed listening to this.
Yeah.
If you have, feel free to look up one of the other teams that we've done.
Yeah.
Put a lot of effort in getting all these ready for Saturday. Don't forget, like and subscribe on YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah.
Drop us any comments, send us some messages. Let us know if you want anything you want us to see, because we're still recording loads of games.
Yeah.
We'll get it back onto the God tier as soon as Season 4 has all been announced.
Yeah, we've got a bit of Guild Ball mud recently.
We have a little bit, but I'm really missing God tier at this point. Mm. So once we've got all these together and done, we'll be back on God tier. We'll be at SteamCon.
Yeah.
SteamCon UK. So feel free to challenge us to a game. We might have some coins on us.
I've still got coins.
Yeah, but you might lose them at SteamCon.
Hopefully.
There you go. So they'll be there.
I can't lose them. And that ain't even an arrogant thing. I'm trying to.
And we will probably be in the God tier tournament.
We're probably going to play in the God tier tournament, yeah.
So you never know, you might get paired up against one of us. If so, we'll hand out some Glory Goals hexes.
Yeah.
For the God tier, so that should be good. Other than that, thanks again. Awesome. Thanks to Singled Out for hosting us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see you later. I've been Rich.
I've been Luke. See you later. Bye.